23. The bear's back trail was easy to find, but tougher to follow. 5 miles or so out of the clearing, it led them through a low, boggy area that was not quite a swamp. By the time the ground began to rise and firm up a little again, Roland's faded jeans were soaked to the knees, and he was breathing in long, steady rasps. Still, he was in slightly better shape than Eddie, who had found wrestling Susanna's wheelchair through the muck and standing water hard going. "Time to rest and eat something," Roland said. "Oh boy, gimme eats," Eddie puffed. He helped Susanna out of the harness and set her down on the bole of a fallen tree with claw marks slashed into its trunk in long diagonal grooves. Then he half sat, half collapsed next to her.
"You got my wheelchair pretty muddy, white boy," Susanna said. "It's all gonna be in my report."
He cocked an eyebrow at her.
"Next car wash we come to, I'll push you through myself. I'll even turtle wax a goddamn thing, okay?"
She smiled. "You got a date, handsome." Eddie had one of Roland's water skins cinched around his waist. He tapped it.
"Okay?"
"Yes," Roland said. "Not too much now. A little more for all of us before we set out again. That way no one takes a cramp."
"Roland, Eagle Scout of Oz,"
Eddie said and giggled as he unslung the water skin. "What is this Oz?"
"A make-believe place in a movie," Susanna said. "Oz was a lot more than that. My brother Henry used to read me the stories once in a while. I'll tell you one some night, Roland."
"That would be fine," the gunslinger replied seriously. "I am hungry to know more of your world."
"Oz isn't our world, though. Like Susanna said, it's a make-believe place."
Roland handed them chunks of meat which had been wrapped in broad leaves of some sort. "The quickest way to learn about a new place is to know what it dreams of. I would hear of this Oz."
"Okay, that's a date, too. Suze can tell you the one about Dorothy and Toto and the Tin Woodman, and I'll tell you all the rest."
He bit into his piece of meat and rolled his eyes approvingly. It had taken the flavor of the leaves in which it had been rolled and was delicious. Eddie wolfed his ration, stomach gurgling busily all the while. Now that he was getting his breath back, he felt good. Great, in fact. His body was growing a solid sheath of muscle, and every part of it felt at peace with every other part.
"Don't worry," he thought. "Everything will be arguing again by tonight. I think he's going to push on until I'm ready to drop in my tracks."
Susanna ate more delicately, chasing every second or third bite with a little sip of water, turning the meat in her hands, eating from the outside in.
"Finish what you started last night," she invited Roland. "You said you thought you understood these conflicting memories of yours."
Roland nodded. "Yes. I think both memories are true. One is a little truer than the other, but that does not negate the truth of that other."
"Makes no sense to me," Eddie said. "Either this boy Jake was at the way station or he wasn't, Roland."
"It is a paradox. Something that is and isn't at the same time. Until it's resolved, I will continue divided. That's bad enough, but the basic split is widening. I can feel that happening. It is unspeakable."
"What do you think caused it?" Susanna asked.
"I told you the boy was pushed in front of a car. Pushed. Now, who do we know who like to push people in front of things?" Understanding dawned in her face.
"Jack Mort. Do you mean he was the one who pushed this boy into the street?"
"Yes."
"But you said the man in black did it," Eddie objected. "Your buddy Walter. You said that the boy saw him. A man who looked like a priest. Didn't the kid even hear him say he was? Let me through, I'm a priest, something like that?"
"Oh, Walter was there. They were both there, and they both pushed Jake."
"Somebody bring the Thorazine and the straitjacket," Eddie called. "Roland just went over to Highside."